And I would invite you, if you have your Bibles with you, to turn to the Gospel of Luke. Today we're going to be talking about Jesus, the Son of God. And I again went through and did a scripture search, and there are many, many times, there's actually 36 times in the four Gospels, that the term Son of God is used about our Savior Jesus. But I want us to recognize that this was also a term that is used for the saints. We are sons of God. How did that happen? Well, we know Jesus, we're told, was the firstborn. But then, because of Jesus' work, we became adopted. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So this morning, I just want us to think of all the things that we are blessed by because of this Messiah, the Son of God, who came to earth, took on the human body. He was in heaven at the beginning. We see Him in the creation. And as we read this scripture, we're going to take a look at several of the things. Now, you may be wondering, why do we need this information? And I'm just going to share, Wesley, just a little, because not having grown up a Seventh-day Baptist, I am not aware of all the different ideas that are taught in different churches. And one of the things that Wesley was sharing this morning, because of his growing up in the Adventist church, was about the cleansing of the temple that they believe took place in 1844. And so this was the part that I had understood about that was that was when Jesus got down off of the throne because he's sitting beside the Father and started judging. That's what I understood the Adventists to believe, okay? And but the first part of that doctrine has to do with the fact that they believed that Jesus had to cleanse the temple in 1844. So we're going to be talking about that indirectly this morning because we're going to look at scriptures that says Jesus' work was finished. Finished once and for all. And so these are things that we need to understand because there are a lot of different teachings and beliefs out there. And we need to have, you know, the Bible says study to show yourself approved because it's awful easy to start picking up things that God didn't intend. And so, I don't know how many of you have studied church history, but all through that first and second century, you have several councils that are convened. Why? Because there was new teachings. And they were saying, no, these are not correct. And so they tried to start helping the church to have a basic doctrine that they wouldn't step outside of because some of them were heresies. They were not scriptural. They were not true. And so we need to have the scriptures as our foundation. So this morning we're going to start with John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Gospel of John, yes. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. All right, so what do we hear from that scripture? We already said Jesus was in the beginning. Jesus was not a created being at that time. He then was, okay, well, we'll pick that up later, okay. So right now we're talking about Jesus was in the beginning. The Word, He was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right? Now, we need to understand that because as we realize Jesus came to reveal the Word, He starts using the term light. We have a picture of, and I want you to think of a dark room. And when you go in, If you've been out in the bright sunlight, you go into a dark room, what can you see?
Darkness,
that's it. And you have to wait until your eyes adjust to get enough of what little light there is in that dark room to be able to see, or you can turn the switch on and have a light that way. All right. Jesus was that light. He was the light that was sent to come into this world that had become full of darkness. Now, I want you to stop for a moment and think about what happened in the garden. When the world was created, what was it? It was good. There was no sin. When Satan came, and when Adam and Eve fell, excuse me, what form came into the world? The sin and the darkness. They came into the world. And at that point, Adam gave up what was his original position. Adam was told to go into the world, to be fruitful and multiply, to subdue the world. He was to have authority over it. Now, I want you to jump real quickly to the temptation of Jesus, okay? At that point, Satan takes Jesus and says, "Look at all these kingdoms of the world. If you will bow down to me, I will put you with authority and power over them." Where did Satan get that power? In the garden. Mankind, because of sin, lost that authority. Jesus came back to change that back the way it was. All right, we're going to go ahead now to this same chapter, verses 10 through 14. "He was in the world, and through the world was, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." All right. Did God ever leave the world? He did not. All through the Old Testament, we see God revealing himself to prophets, to the people through the cloud that led them in the desert and the fire. He revealed himself in many ways. He spoke, you know, to Moses. So God never left the world. But did the people that he was interacting with, were they perfectly successful? No, they were not. And God knew this. This is what's beautiful. You see, we think, okay, God's up there scratching his head because Satan threw a monkey wrench into the things. No, that's not what happened. God knew this beforehand. He knew that man was going to fall. He already knew that his son was going to have to come. And he was going to have to take on a fleshly body. Now, this is what I want us to recognize, though. Why is it that when we talk about scriptures and we say that man's the, quote, original sin, all of us are born with that, why is it that Jesus didn't have that? Why? Because he was born of the Holy Spirit. His Father was God. All right? So we recognize because of that, his lineage was not the same. He was not from Adam in one aspect. And yet he was of Adam on his mother's side. He took on that earthly form. All right. That's what, okay, the term incarnate. All you have to remember is it means Jesus was born in the flesh. Okay? That's what it means. Okay. Moving ahead to that same chapter, verse 29. "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. Amen. Jesus, at the baptism, the Holy Spirit descended. Here in the Gospel of John, we see John saying that John knew this was the Messiah. Why? Because God had already told him, the one you baptize, that the Spirit comes down and stays on, that is the one that you were expecting. Do you see how all of the pieces that God had established from the beginning all played out perfectly? It was not an accident. Jesus said, I have to be baptized. I always wondered, you know, why would Jesus need to be baptized? He's the Son of God. Why? Because John had already been told, he's going to be baptized, and when you see this Holy Spirit descend, you will know he's the Messiah. And what was John's purpose in the world? Go back to the music, the Messiah. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Okay? He was to prepare the way. He was to make the path straight and reveal the Messiah. Okay? This is what he was doing. All right. Now, I want you to jump over to Hebrews. Chapter 10. Hebrews is an excellent discourse on the whole concept of how Jesus was a better high priest than any high priest they had ever known. He was the perfect high priest. And he was trying to point out that the Jewish people needed to recognize that Jesus was the ultimate high priest, the Holy One of God, the Anointed. And so he was preaching this. They kept looking for another Messiah. And that's horrible to think that here the Messiah came and they missed him. Now, in this chapter here, in chapter 10, we're going to read verses 8 through 18. First, he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, or you do not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then he said, here I am, I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Did you hear those words? We have been made holy. How? Not by anything you and I did. We have been made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. And that was done once for all. Now I want you to now picture in your mind Jesus on the cross. Okay? He cries out, it is finished. Now, I want us to understand that term meant that it is paid in full. The term that he used was what they would stamp if you had gone into a contract and agreed to fulfill certain things and you fulfill them and the contract was then completed. That's the word that would have been stamped there. What was the work? What was finished? What was finished was the fact that the authority that Satan had received from Adam was now taken back over and given to the Son of God. And what did he do with that authority? Did he just keep it and take it to heaven with him? No, think of Matthew chapter 28. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I now command you to baptize. He gave a command. That authority was now given to the body of Christ. And you and I need to realize that we need to learn how to live in that authority. So this is part of what we need to understand when he says, I have made you holy through my sacrifice, and it was done once and for all. Day after day, the priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. By one sacrifice, because of one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Now, do you hear the change in tense there? Because he starts off, the sacrifice was done once for all, and now we are being made holy. Why? Because we are learning to walk in God's ways. We are learning to walk as holy and righteous people. And so we are being made holy. And it's a work that continues on and will be completed when we ascend to be with Jesus. All right? Now, this is another thing that I think is beautiful. He says, what is he doing? He's sitting at the right hand of God, and he's going to be there until when? Amen. Do you hear that? What are you and I supposed to be about right now? We are the army of God. We are called to be a part of making his enemies his footstool. But I want you to recognize how that is. That's not by going out and slaying someone. Okay? And sometimes we as Christians lose sight of that. Have you ever heard... Well, I remember back when I was a teenager, people, when they got saved, they really got excited and they got on... But sometimes they really got abrasive. They would get right in your face. And they'd say, you're a sinner, you need to get saved, and if you don't, you're going to burn in hell. And all of that was true, okay? But until you know Jesus, that is true. But I'm telling you that that's not how we slay Satan. How we slay Satan, what does he say? My people will be known by their love. By their love. Guys, that's one, our first mark that we have to have. The first mark is that we know that we are God's when we recognize the love he causes us to do. That means that he will cause us to love even when we don't want to. Even when it's hard. Even when we are abused by others, we will continue to love. Does that mean that we allow others to continue on an abusive path? No. He said, I want us to understand, sometimes we think because Jesus said we're supposed to be meek, that means that we're supposed to be a doormat. No. He said, you are supposed to be the light of the world. How do we light the world? By lovingly confronting. Okay? How do you lovingly confront? You do that by, instead of using the words I did earlier, by simply showing in the scripture that, you know what? I'm a sinner. And everyone has sinned. And we are all in this need of God's grace and the gift that he gave us. Through his Son, who had to come and take on a fleshly body, who had to allow the Holy Spirit to come. And I want you to recognize, where was Jesus' power? Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came and rested upon him. And it wasn't until he went back to heaven that you and I could receive the Holy Spirit. But we're going to preach about the Holy Spirit later. All right. So, Jesus' power came from the Holy Spirit. From God. So I want us to recognize, and this is what's so hard. We are so used to physical things that when we get a spirit involved and try to understand how that all relates, it's very, very difficult. So this morning we're dealing with the fact that Jesus said that he was the Son of God. Others proclaimed him the Son of God. That he was the Messiah. And that he was the perfect sacrifice. And through that sacrifice, he was able to give us victory once and for all. Okay? We're going to go now on to 1 John. Chapter 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Aha! Jesus is on the right hand of the Father. And what is he doing? Speaking to the Father in our defense. He's interceding for us. What a wonderful thing. I no longer have to worry that I'm not perfect. Because I have the Son of God interceding. Saying, he is your son. And introducing us to the Father and saying, he's your son, he's your daughter. He's been washed in the blood. So none of that sin is sticking on us anymore. It's been washed off. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. All right. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. How many years ago was this scripture written? Almost 2,000 years. All right. The spirit of the Antichrist was already in the world. Why? Now, this is what I want you to recognize. Satan has been a part of the world from the time that angels were created. Satan lost his position in heaven because he wanted to take a position that was not his. He wanted to be God. All right. Now, this is love, not that we... Oh, down in verse 10, sorry, same chapter. Now that this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Then down in chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father, his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love of God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it then that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And down in verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. All right. Do you know you have salvation? We know that because he has told us that we can know that. I don't want you to accept when someone says, how can I know that I have salvation? If you believe Son of God, if you believe in Jesus the Messiah, if you have accepted that gift, now, if you believe, and this is the thing, because believe is a word that has many different definitions. And we need to understand, because we also see in Scripture that the demons believe. Okay? How the demons reacted when Jesus is there. They cried out saying that He was the Son of God. What do you have to do with us? They knew it. Were they saved? Not until, unless they could accept the blood of Jesus. And I don't think demons, I think they've already made their choice. Because they were in heaven and were thrown out of heaven. So they can't, you know, it's... I've never seen in Scripture that says that a demon can't be saved. But I've never seen that they can. And I can't imagine when they made that choice that they're going to change again. Because they have already chosen. So, one of the things I want you to realize, there are people out there that will teach you, we cannot know whether we have eternal life. Is that what that Scripture just said? No, it said you can know that you have eternal life. If, okay, so believe is not to simply know that something exists. That's not believe in this context. Believe in this context is that I have seen who this Son of God is, and I have accepted His teachings, His commands, and I'm going to try to seek to conform my life to that. That's what believe means. It's the concept of recognizing that He is the way, the truth, and the life. Recognizing that. Yes, Jeff.
So, when you were reading in chapter 3, it sounds like, I'm not saying it is, it sounded like it's okay to continue sinning.
Okay. Again, we have the other scriptures that we know that, no, it's not okay to continue sinning. Sin is something that we are to always strive against. We're to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. The Lord's Prayer says, lead us not into temptation. You know, this is not what God wants for us. He wants us to become more and more righteous. That scripture was simply saying that all of us have sinned. None of us is perfect. All of us have need for this salvation.
Okay. And can live sin-free.
Through, if we can stay fully in the Holy Spirit, we will not sin. Amen. I'm going to keep praying that I get to that level. I know sometimes my selfishness doesn't allow me to stay at that level. Okay, but yes, that is what we strive towards. But not in our power. Because you and I are not capable. It's the Spirit who makes us capable of living that victorious life. Right? He will do the work of sanctification constantly. All right? So, I just want us to know that this morning, what is the work Jesus did? He came that you and I might have eternal life. John 3:16, it was probably the first scripture you ever learned. You know, that's why He came, because He loved us. He wanted us to have eternal life. He wanted us to have a victorious life. He wanted us to live righteously. And through Him and His power, we can do that more and more and more. And that's the goal. Amen? So, I hope that excites you. It should excite us to recognize where we were when you think. Now, some of us grew up in the church, and it's kind of hard for us because we think that... But I want us to stop and think about the world. Think about the people you have contact with. Think about the people you have worked with. Think about their lives. Some of them are one catastrophe after another. And that seems to be all that they ever experience, is catastrophe after catastrophe. But you see, when we put on Jesus, it changes our whole outlook. and it changes our whole. We recognize that the struggles that we go through are, God is with us and He will see us through. We recognize that there is a victory that's already been paid for and bought. And so we recognize. And sometimes we, as kids that grew up in the church and stayed in the church, we think, well, what's the big deal? The big deal is where you could have been. Jeff?
Are not those catastrophes fruit?
They can be. If we go through and do it in the Lord's power, then they're going to end up making fruit. Yes, yes.
Well, I mean, you're going to make fruit regardless, right?
Well, so yeah, some may be bad, yeah. That's true, okay. I'm thinking of fruit, I'm thinking of Jesus said we were to bear fruit, and I'm thinking that's only good. And that's what we're supposed to bear is good fruit. Because we're tied into the vine.
Right.
Amen? We're tied into the vine. And if He's our root, then the fruit will be good. Amen. Yeah, amen. So, we just need to think about what we have because of Jesus. All right? I hope this gives you a little stronger foundation because, like I said, I hadn't really thought about how different religions do have different teachings on this. We need to understand so that we can't be deceived. You see, that's Satan's whole idea, is he wants to deceive us. And if we don't know His Word, things can sound logical. We have to know His Word and let the Holy Spirit guide us. Amen?